as I am.
Just as I am and need thee not to rid my soul of
I would be lost.
all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Are you hearing me clearly?
Yes. Good evening.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, I joined with the songwriter saying, nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Just as I am without one plea, precious blood of Jesus, one that atoned for us. We have so much to give God thanks for today. Amen. It hasn't been for him and his mercies, his grace and his mercies. You know, we always use those words together, grace and mercy. You know, and there's a difference between grace and mercy. You know, there's a difference between it. When we talk about grace, we're talking about getting what we don't deserve it. You know, we get what we don't deserve. Amen. And something that we didn't work for. But when we talk about mercy, it is not getting what we do deserve. You know, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And that's something to give God thanks for. And we mentioned his grace and his mercy that has brought us through. Amen. We are living this moment just because of him. We're still looking at Romans, the book of Romans, and we are at chapter 7. Yes, it's last week we looked at chapter 6. Next week, God's willing, we'll look at chapter 8. So we are between two mountains. We are like down in the valley now. Chapter 7 put us down in the valley. Amen. And then chapter 8 going to raise us up. Back up in the mountaintop. And it's a very interesting, it's very interesting preparing it. Preparing Romans and stuff. There's a lot of stuff that came out, and I can't wait to share it with us all. Amen. Yes, before we dive into it, let's pray. Lord, we want to tell you that we love you. And the reason, mighty God, is evident, because you are love and you taught us how to love. So we love you, Lord, because you first love us and teach us what love is. So here we are, mighty God, showing, expressing, giving back ourselves to you. So you can use us, mighty God. So you can use us as instruments of righteousness. So you can use us, mighty God, to spread the gospel near and far. So you can use us to let our light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify you, oh God. So here we are this evening, mighty God, want to hear a word from you, want you to come and in us, Lord God, create in us a clean heart so that, mighty God, your word will stick within us and will cause a transformation. We pray even now, mighty God, that you will tabernacle with us in a brand new way, a way in which you will relieve us of every stress. You will relieve us, mighty God, of every pain, every circumstances that seems as if it's so stubborn in our way. We pray that as your word come now, Lord, it will soften the ground and remove everything that the enemy would plant on us. Oh God, we rebuke, mighty God, the enemy of our soul even now. And we stand firm, knowing, mighty God, that the battle is already won, and you already getting the victory from it in Christ's name. So let the words of my mouth, meditation of our hearts, be accepted in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. Amen, amen, amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Yes. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And so this evening, we're looking at Romans chapter 7, finding freedom in the struggle. And if you're not going through struggles now, it will come. If you're going through it now, you're joining me. And if you had gone through it in the past, you can encourage us, knowing that it's possible to go through it. Amen. So, Romans chapter 7 is rather a study for believers walking through difficult seasons. Sometimes we go through some seasons when we're wondering if we're going or we're coming. You know, we don't know. It's as if we are so, it causes so much questions to spring up in our minds. And when we look and see how bad we are falling, sometimes it causes us to our spirit to be dampened. But Romans chapter 7 will tell us that we are not alone. You know, we are not alone. Some great stalwarts has gone that route before, and they came through. You know, so don't be discouraged. You know, this chapter is honest about struggles, and it does not leave us in despair. Amen. It give us hope. It give us hope. He said. It ends with the beginning of chapter 8, verse 1, that says, "Watch, there is therefore now no condemnation." Amen. Yeah, so that's a lot of hope that is going to leave us with. So as we go through it, as we go through Romans chapter 8, chapter 7, don't let the valley cause you to be caved in. But think about it, that at the end of chapter 7, the first thing that you're going to hear in the morning, when weeping endure through the night, but joy comes, the first thing that you're going to hear, the first thing that you're going to sprung out on you is, "There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." You know, so no matter what the enemy would want to tell you, that you're living a defeated life, or you're living a life that is depressed and oppressed, you're free in Christ Jesus. Amen. There is therefore no condemnation. So as we go through it, don't let it seem as if there is a party going on here, where we are in this thing as if we are under suppression, we are suppressed in any way or another. Let us go through it knowing that there is therefore no. Amen. Can I get an amen for that? There is therefore no condemnation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. So we go through it. Why does Romans chapter 7 even matters today? You know, it speaks the language. As Romans chapter 7, it does speak our language and the experience that many of us know very well. You know, we know we love God, but we still struggle. We want to obey His words to the very letter. We want to obey the very words. We want to obey it. No doubt about it. We want to obey it. We want because we love him. Amen.
Yes.
But often we feel pulled in opposite direction. You know, it's like an inner war going on. Paul described that inner conflict with remarkable honesty. He was very honest about it. You know, we're going to read a few verses from it. We're going to read a few verses. I know that you have read portions of it in preparing for it already. But Romans chapter 7, let's just read from verses. Let's go from 1 to 6. Romans chapter 7, 1 to 6. Amen. Anyone there?
Can I read?
Go ahead, sis.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Sister Heather.
All right, I'm going to read from our King James Version. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, he also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that he should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Amen. Thank you, sis. Yes, as we would read further into it, if you ever feel like an hypocrite in your faith, it will, this passage, as we go further in it, if you ever feel like an hypocrite, you know, you're going to see where things that you don't want to do are the things that sometimes we do. Amen. You may be wondering why you keep falling when you love God so much. You know, you continue to fail and you love God so much. Romans 7 is one of the most personal and emotional raw passage in all of Paul's writing, where it comes when the rubber hit the ground and he really speaking from his heart. You know, this is greatest apostle who would pull the curtain to reveal his own inner war. You know, and I guess that's the place where we all need to be, where we are naked and exposed before God so he can dress us. You know, so he can deal with us in his grace and his mercy. You know, from times we go through with various battles, various temptation, we are discouraged. And it's no doubt about it. I become discouraged sometimes. You know, I battle with temptation sometimes. You know, I am ashamed of myself sometimes. Because sometimes when I think that I am strong, then I am weak. You know, because, you know, we are in a real battle. You know, and many of us, we can see in the spiritual, We only can see as far as our big toe. We only can see in the natural to see. You know, we can't, and the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We can't see sometimes what we're coming up against unless we are let's remain prayerful, so the Lord will direct us in the spirit. You know, we fail sometimes even when we know not. We fail, you know, because we is as if we spend so much time in the natural that we don't take heed to the spiritual, to feed the spiritual man, so that we can be strong when rough times come up against us. You know, so it's something for us to really look into. And as I said before, Romans chapter 7 sits between two mountains. It's down in the valley. You know, that's where we get bare, and that's where we get naked before Almighty God. That's where we realize that we are really struggling when we are in the valley and we're trying to climb up, but we keep slipping. We keep our foot keeps slipping. You know, we're trying our best to raise our head up above the waters, but our feet keep slipping. You know, Romans chapter 6 said, in Romans chapter 6, it gives us a freedom from sin's penalty and power. You know, it tells us, for the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 7 now, it gives a freedom from the law. From the law of condemnation. And then Romans chapter 8 comes brilliantly with the freedom in the spirit. No condemnation. You're free in the spirit. Amen. You may be in the valley right now, but the mountain of victory is ahead. You know, you may feel down and depressed right now, but there is something beyond our pain that we are going through. There's something beyond the veil. Amen. There is something beyond that veil. So just press on. Just hold on a little longer. The struggle is real. You know, and why does Paul really talk about that struggle? Why does Paul just would come and address that struggle like that? Because he knows, possibly he knows that he is the ones that he is ministering to are writing to the Romans. They were going through something similar, if not the same thing, like what he's going through. And he's encouraging them through it. He's not trying to look like a macho man, like he's not going through nothing. Or he's not like trying to look like a superhero, like he got everything under control. But he is revealing a struggle to them. You know, there's something important that Paul would have bring out. He would have said, the law is good and holy. Amen. He said, the law is good and holy, but it cannot change our heart. You know, only Jesus can do that. So the real struggle is normal. If you're a Christian and you still feel a torn between wanting to do right and doing wrong, if you feel struggle with temptation, feel frustrated with yourself, feel discouraged. I even feel ashamed, because sometimes, as I said, you do some things that when you look back and see what you have done, you're really ashamed. You know, even after you have been forgiven and set free, and you really look and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, shouldn't have done that. And you feel ashamed of your actions and stuff, going through ongoing weaknesses. You know, you're going through a period of ongoing weaknesses. It's as if you're weak to the flesh or weak to something which you think in your mind that you should be strong in. You're not alone. You know, it's a real battle we're up against. And Apostle Paul experienced that too. He will, as we read, he will tell you, you know, and he will also tell you in other chapters that is not every time you pray about something in particular, you're going to get released from it immediately. You know, he will tell us about the thorn that he had in the flesh, messenger of Satan to buffet him. And it was then it was then the Lord would reveal it to him that in your I am strong in your weakness, I am strong. I, the Lord, your God, is strong in your weakness. You know, so sometimes we have these struggles, these suppression and these oppression to keep us grounded and to keep us rooted, to keep us anchored. Amen. Yes, so it's the good news is the struggle is not the end of our story. You know, it's not the end of the story. We may be in the valley now, but the mountain of victory is ahead of us. Amen. It's not behind us. As I told you the other day, that our best days are still ahead of us. Amen. Yes, so Sister Heather would have read verses 1 to 6. It says, "So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you may belong to another, and to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." You know, we see where Paul would use the analogy of marriage. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but when he dies, she's free to remarry. In the same way, we were once married to the law, to the dictates of the law, bound by a system of rules that only point to our failures. You know, I remember the other day I told you that the law reveals our failures, but it doesn't fix it. You know, so we were bound by that rule, that points that tell you how wrong you are. And it never lead you to righteousness. It never lead you to a right path. But through Christ's death, we die to that old marriage of sin. We die to it. That's in logically, that's what Paul is saying. We die to it because of Christ's death. And now we belong to a new spouse, the risen Christ. You know, you can imagine you were married to someone really strict. Like this person had a giant list of rules that you have to follow. You know, your spouse have a list of rules that he wants you to follow. He or she, your spouse, wants you to follow. And you could me never measure up. Because each time you try to follow it, it's like there's a fault. There's this fault, there's that fault, there's that fault. And yet the person would never help you to get it right, to fix it and stuff. That's the type of spouse that we had, like in the law, you know. And this is what Paul is describing, the life under the law, all of the religious rules people trying to follow to make God happy. You know, you're trying to keep the religious rules, the rituals and stuff, as a way that you perceive to make right, to make you right with God. But it gets worse and worse each time you try, because then there was no grace. You know, there was no grace there. There was no mercy there. And Paul would point out a hint to that marriage that you were married to sin, to that spouse. So Paul says, when Jesus died, we died too, spiritually speaking. When he died on that cross, we died spiritually speaking. And that means we are no longer married to the old rule book. Amen. That harsh demanding relationship that we had with the law is done. We are free to belong to someone new, Amen. We are free now because that law is done away with. So we underneath a new system, grace. Amen. Yes, so in the old way was like living with a boss who constantly inspect you. You know, just like what you have at your workplace. You're trying to live up to the expectation of your boss. Whatever the boss says, you're trying to do it. And many times, when you try in one area to patch up one area, another area is failing, you know, and you keep being criticized or you keep being marked down for all of that. And it makes you live in fear. Amen. It makes you live in fear, and you're now performance driven. You are now driven by your performance. You are now marked by your performance, by how you can do this or you can do that. And you find yourself after a while become so exhausted. It pains you, you know, because you're trying to measure up, and you will never measure up under the law. You know, so the new way now. So why does Romans chapter 7 matters to us? Is as if we in ourselves cannot save ourselves. No matter how we try, we cannot meet that mark. We have to go through Christ. We have to go through the blood. We have to accept him. He's the one who have to propel us, guide us through. We of ourselves cannot do it. We cannot read our Bible enough. To make God like us more, is we cannot read it enough to make. We need him to live in us. The moment that we start to accept that the Holy Spirit is now enthroned in our hearts, it makes the Christian life easier, and we don't have to be underneath the suppression of the flesh or the dictates thereof anymore. And that would cause now we to be more spiritually equipped to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil when he comes up to us with all sort of foolishness. And that's when we have an open mouth. And that's one of the things that is drifting us as Christians away from the mark. Because we shut up our mouth when we should have it, when we should be proclaiming the very word of God. And that's one of the things that happened to Adam when he was in the Garden of Eden. You know, he shut up his mouth. You know, and he was there naming animals and all of that. He was given an helpmeet, and he named her woman, Eve. And it was then, when he was there alone in that garden, the devil didn't come and give him any instructions or no nothing to follow. It was when he had that company, when he had Eve, the devil would come and he would say to Eve, "Eat up that fruit of the tree in the midst and stuff." You know, and even at that point, Adam kept quiet. When the devil come and was speaking to Eve, he kept quiet. And even when Eve would hand him the fruit, and he realized that it was a strange fruit, it's not nothing that he used to eat before, he still remained quiet, and he ate it. And he ate it, and you know the results of it. So it's not good for us as a people that has been bought with a price. And know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well within us, to keep our mouth shut when we see things, when we see injustice, or when we see sin present itself at our doorstep, rebuke it at the very appearance of it. That's what we should do. Amen. Amen. Any questions before we go any further? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Question. This is a question that I want us to ponder on it. You don't have to answer it now, but just ponder on it. Are you treating God like a spouse who generally, who genuinely loves you, or like a boss who standing over your shoulder checking off whether you're good enough? That's a question I wanted to you to ponder on that question. How are you treating God? Are you treating him like a spouse who genuinely love you, or like a boss who stands over your shoulder checking off whether you are good enough? Think on that question. Maybe later on we'll get time to look into it. Amen. Yes, so, because many of us know the right theology, the right teaching, but still live under a performance mindset. Still thinking that we have to do this and we have to do that. We have to follow certain rituals and stuff in order to get our breakthrough in this new dispensation of grace. You'd realize that it's not so. The purpose, we're looking at the purpose of the law. Amen. What's the purpose of the law? Is the law bad or is it good? Anyone want to share on that? What do you think about the law? Is it in your own? Before Paul even say no, what do you say of the law? Do you think if given a chance, you could be able to keep the law?
I don't think the law is bad. Good evening, everyone. I
Good
don't think the
evening,
law
sis.
is bad, Deacon. I just think it is rigid, and it allows us no opportunity to fail. I don't want to use fail, but just to slip. It's just one way, and it's not a representation of Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is. God is a God of grace, and He would allow us to fail. And when we fail, Him not turning back, Him pick us up, and Him not condemn us, and He provides that guidance so that we don't slip continuously, and we may slip again, and He's still going to be there. He's not going to give up on us. If it had been the law, like just the law, then because of how rigid it is either you do something or you don't do it. And there's no, I don't know if there's space to grow, where the law is concerned. It's either you do it or you don't. Whereas grace allows us the opportunity to fail, to go back, possibly fail again. But in each time we're failing, we're doing better, and it allows that opportunity to grow. So the law in and of itself is not bad. It's just rigid, in my opinion.
Amen. Yes. And if you break
Mom,
one, you
may I
break
say
all.
something? May I say something?
Go ahead, Sister Tenda.
The law is like a guide. And in other parts of the scripture, it says that it's like a schoolmaster to teach us,
Yes.
to bring us to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, it's like a schoolmaster. Yes, leading us to God. Yes, and if you break one, you break all.
Yes.
So Paul is saying in verse 7, he said, "What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not, by no means." Because Paul anticipates a question. If the law brings death, is the law bad? And his answer is no. The law is holy and righteous and good, he says in verse 12. What is the job of the law then? What is the law's job? It's like a mirror. As Sister Thelma would said, it's like a mirror. The law shows us our dirt. It can't wash us clean, wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The law reveals sin, but it doesn't remove it. Paul says that when he encounter the command, thou shalt not, when he Paul say he encounter the command, thou shalt not covet, sin sprung up in his life. So the law exposes our heart and shows our need for grace. Exposes our heart and shows that we really need Jesus. It's like a mirror.
Mirror, yes, the mirror.
That shows us ourselves, but it doesn't fixes us.
It will.
Have you ever noticed that the moment you resolve to stop a particular sin, the moment you really make up your mind, say you're going to stop this particular sin, the temptation seems to be more intensified. When you decide to stop, it's like all hell break loose. The temptation just come so intensify as if it don't want you to break free from it. And that's not a sign that you are more sinful than others. It's a sign that you understand the human condition Paul is describing. You want to do good. Evil presents itself, and instead of choosing good, you choose evil. The law diagnoses the disease, but it doesn't provide the cure. So don't be discouraged when self-effort and willpower fail you. When your self-effort and your willpower fail you, they were never meant to save you in the first place. Your self-effort and your willpower, it was never meant to save you in the first place. So don't be discouraged. Take a look on within. Take a look within, and you'll find strength. Amen. You'll find strength. The inner war, there's a tug of war going in. We look at verse 14 to 25. This is exactly the very core, the very heart of this passage. Is the most relatable passage for us as a struggling believer. We can relate to it. Paul said in verse 15, verse 15, and can somebody read verse 15 to 19?
Married
Yes, go ahead, sis.
for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is not good, that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, neither to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Thelma. Yes, so there is a inner war that is going on within. I don't care who you are. This relate to us. At some point or the other, there's a war, a tug of war that is going on.
It on the flesh.
For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate.
What a tug of war. What a
That's a
war.
war.
What a war. Oh, God.
And it's an inner war because
Jesus.
what could direct your hands or your feet
The
or
wonder
your mouth
why
to
Jesus.
say to your mouth to say something? What could direct it? Your mouth to say something, your hands to do something, your feet to go somewhere. If there is not a inner war, it's not like anybody chaining you up and drawing you and carrying you to the to what we have a place to commit any sin, You're taking yourself, you're walking yourself, the inner war you're fighting with. Nobody telling your hands to touch anything. You do it yourself, the inner war. Nobody telling your mouth to swear or to say anything that is out of order. You're doing it yourself because there's an inner war.
Devil, hallelujah.
Or I do.
Yes.
I have the desire to do what is good. That is what Paul said in verse 18. I
Oh,
have the
evil.
desire to do what is good,
Hey.
but I cannot carry it out. You want to tell the truth, but it's like you cannot carry it out because
It is
there's a bigger
possible.
war.
Oh, God.
You want to stop doing some things that you know is not right before God, but it's like you cannot because there's a tug of war. You cannot carry it out. That's what Paul is saying in verse 18. You want to do the good, but you cannot carry it out. Paul said, "For I do not do the good that I want to do. I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This is what I keep doing."
Oh, God, save us.
I can identify with that. Many times I make up my mind that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do that. And when the rubber hit the road, I do the very opposite of what I said. But even if you think Brother Scott is wrong, even in your New Year's resolution, all of you, in your New Year's resolution, how many of you able to keep all your New Year's resolution right to the very core?
No,
I know none of you in
we are
your
not
New Year's resolution
perfect.
and plan to do anything that is bad. You don't write down anything that is bad in it. It's things that are beneficial to you. You'd write
Yes.
down. You'd plan to spend more time with God. You'd plan to lose weight. You'd plan to gain weight. You'd plan to change your job. You'd plan to work six figures paycheck and whatever. You'd
Want
plan
to
to
read the Bible more often.
Yes, you plan to pray more, read the Bible more, go to church, and maybe some of the resolution don't even last until the end of January.
My God, I'm
You
telling
do
you.
the very opposite. You start off the year. You start off the year in one condition and finish the year
Yeah,
worse
different
than when you
than.
start it off. You start the year like a dumpling and you end like a Johnny Cake.
Yeah, Janice here, here. Right back to you.
Because there's a tug of war, there's a war that is going on
Oh, God, in a war, in a
on the
my
inside
war.
of us. And the time that we identify the war, that's the time that we really need to that we really decide that we need a change, we need a breakthrough from it. Amen. Sister Camille.
Yes, Deacon. Oh gosh, the nail right on the head. I remember as you talk about the beginning of the year, I started out with that 21 days of fasting, and it pushed me into a season of consecration and living a certain way. The Lord have led me, and I know we remember the Ark of the Covenant and all of that, all of that, spending time in the presence of the Lord, seeking, to be like the Lord God Almighty Himself. And as the season would have, take a little time and pass, I remember being at school and the student provoked me. And the word that come out of my mouth, I was
My God.
ashamed,
Yes.
It's not an expletive, you know, but I said to the dean of discipline, you better hold a boy a come, we thump him, you know? And it brought such a shock to the dean of discipline was there, the school SRO, that's the police officer for the school, was there. The children were in the hallway, you know, they went to the principal, they told on me. I felt so ashamed. You know, it would have been like a week after. The season wasn't even finished. It was the exact week after I presented on Ark of the Becoming the Walking Ark. And I was, when I came home and I was reflecting, I said, Jesus Christ, you know, I was on a platform Saturday evening talking to the people of God, saying, listen, we should aim to become the walking ark where the presence of God dwell. And by midweek, that is a word that came out of my mouth. And I remember I probably about 2 weeks, I couldn't get it out of my system. I felt so ashamed. I would walk in the hallway with my head held down. And it was just not a good time. It pressed me down, I tell you, because, you know, when I reflect on it, even the principal was saying, this is not like you. You've been here 4 years. And she was saying, this is it's the first anything like this ever happened. And usually my class is one of the most, I would get the most defiant kids, you know. So for me to react that way to a child, she was saying, you know, it's unlike you, Mrs. Spearchan. But still, even though it's unlike me, she still offered consequences. There was a reprimand that was given to me and all of that. And, you know, I
Consequences.
was there basking in it. And well, not basking, but I was there dwelling in it and saying, you know, I deserve this because that should not have come out of my mouth. And I started being hard on myself, coming down on myself. Like I said, how you feel allow condemning myself? How you feel allow this to happen, Camille? You can do this. You are a leader, you know, you're a leader in the school, you're a leader in ministries, and you know, and I was just overwhelmed with it. Deacon, I don't know if you remember, and I called you and I
I
spoke with
remember.
you. It's after you gave me that word, that scripture that I know and that I would have shared with so many persons. But in that moment, I couldn't find it for myself. And I remember you saying to me, Sister Camille, I know you do it, you know, don't own it. Don't own it. You know, I just said there's therefore now no condemnation. And the word just came. And as soon as it came to me, it sat with me and the feeling lifted. You know, but just backtrack to about 2 weeks before it happened, I remember having a dream, and I'm going to wrap it up shortly. I remember having a dream about me being in Jamaica and wanting to catch a flight. Me, myself, myself, my husband, my son, and we were like down at my family's house. We were rushing towards catching a flight. Now, growing up, there was a latrine around the side of the yard before the house would, you know, develop and we have inside toilet and stuff. So there's a latrine. So in the dream, we were still using the latrine and my phone fell in the latrine. So, you know, it's not toilet where you can just pull out the phone, a latrine, you know. And so it gone down deep and it was covered in filth. And I was like, no, but we need the phone so we can check in. And I don't remember what time flight I have and all of that. And in the dream, my husband went in and took it out. And he and another one of my cousin. And they came out clean, but the phone was covered in filth. And they gave it to me. And I was saying, don't give it to me. Look at what is on it and stuff. And he said to me, Camille, calm down and go wash off the phone and clean it up and log in and do what you need to do. You know, don't be distracted. And I got up the morning after the gym and I was saying, what does this mean? I don't know what it means. But I didn't, to be honest with you, I just said, God, what does this mean? And so, but I didn't pray about it and seek the Lord to say, what are you saying to me? It
Direction.
was after I stopped condemning myself now because of what Deacon would have said to me. I'm gonna say, all right, let me try to look at it from a different angle. And I started praying. Deacon said, Camille, Sister Camille, repent and put it past you and go on, my sister. And I said, all right. And you know, I felt better. And that's when I started praying, and the dream came back to me. And the revelation I got for the dream was that the Lord was trying to prepare me to say, listen, You said you want, you say you're in a season of consecration. You say you want to be elevated. That's the flight that you're trying to catch, you know? But the device that fell in the field, the device is one that you use to communicate with, and it fell in the field. And, you know, it's similarly, the field come out of your mouth. So had I been praying, you know, before, but then my husband who was there was supporting me. Perhaps like, oh, brother Scott, I support me now, and I say, look here, clean it off and move on. Don't dwell on it. You know, and that's how the dream played out. And I was saying, oh my God, had I spent time praying and seeking the Lord and say, God, what you want? What are you trying to tell me? I may have been, I'm not saying I would be, I don't know, but I may have been better prepared, you know, to expect that the enemy is going to come up with something. And so I'm going to be required to exercise that self-control, you know. But it just, when you talk about the scripture tonight, it brought me back to it. That's not something I would want to say. You know, it's not something I would want to say. And if I thought about it, I wouldn't want it to come out of my mouth. But it did, you know. But even though it did, in these events, you can't condemn yourself. And I've learned that you have to give yourself grace, like God gives us grace, you know, and just know that next time I'm going to try as much as possible to be better prepared for whatever is to come. I just wanted to share. Thank you, Deacon.
Amen. Amen. So you see how alive the passage, the scripture is. It's very alive, you know, because we are going through the same situation that Paul went through when he said that the things that he want to do, he doesn't do it, and the things that he should not do, those are the things that he does. You
Amen.
know, and it does
Glory.
show you how present the word is. You know, the word of God is so present. We are living in the very word that was written so many years ago. We are still living. It's still good for us. Amen. So, the when we go through stuff like that, just remember that the greatest missionary in history struggled with the gap between desire and action. Paul, Apostle Paul, he struggled between the gap between desire and action. And it's no big gap, you know. It's not a big gap between your desire and the action, the things that you actually do. The things that you actually want to do and the things that you actually do, there's no big gap between it. It's just less than a second, you fall short. You know, if Paul fought this war and won it, and won, you and I can win this war as well. You know, if this is your experience as a believer, then your struggle does not disqualify you. You know, this struggle that we're going through, it doesn't disqualify us. The very fact that you grieve over sin is evident that the Spirit of God is alive in you. The very fact that your conscience tell you that this is you're wrong to be doing this. You need to be doing this. That show you that the Spirit of God is inside of you, quickening you, making you alive to the word. Amen. If you are doing the stuff that is wrong and you have no conscience to guide you, then you need to check yourself whether or not you're defeated.
Conscience.
Yes,
Hallelujah,
You know, you're
conscience.
dead. You're dead in the battle. You have already lost. If you're doing the thing continually and you have no conscience, said stop it. You know, Proverbs, I always go back to Proverbs 29, verse 1. You know, if a man is often warned and he don't take heed, he will be suddenly cut off, and that is without remedy. And that's what is going to happen if you continue to do the wrong things and you have no feeling or
Conscience,
feeling that you
conscience.
are in the wrong, then you need to check yourself. You
Back to
know, and
Calvary. Back to
yes,
Calvary.
go back to Calvary. And if you are among the household of faith, if you are among if you are a congregant, communicant member in a church or whatever, and a word coming for everybody, and no word coming for you, nothing happening, check yourself whether or not anyone can see you in the spirit. If you completely take yourself out of the spirit,
Sure.
you know, because if you're in the spirit, the people of God who are in the spirit supposed to see you in the spirit.
Amen.
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 Yes. And so it is, Paul said, it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin that live in me. Right? It is no
Yeah.
longer you that is in operation now. It is no
It's
longer you,
flesh at all.
because your identity is lost in Christ. Your identity is intertwined in Christ. So if you find yourself doing the things that are abnormal for the people of God, then it's no longer you, but it's the sin that lives in you. It goes back to a word, to a point that Sister Camille would have shared the other day. If you give this sin legal access, legal grounds,
We say
and the
no,
devil legal grounds to keep coming back to you, he will continue to come back. And when the devil come, he come with sin.
yes, oh
You know,
yes,
and right behind him is death. He come with sin, and right behind him is death, because sin ends in death, spiritually and physically. No, two ways about it. Amen. So Paul distinguished between his redeemed self and the indwelling sin. You are not your sin. Don't feel as if you have lost the fight when you continually, habitually, being caught in the ticket. Know for sure that when situations like these arise, it's time for you to lean in to his unchanging hand, to lean into God, to lean into him, to fix you up, turn you around, plant your feet on higher ground. You know, so Paul is not denying responsibility. He's not denying responsibility. His desire to do well. He's not denying responsibility there. He's distinguishing between his true self in Christ and the sin that still dwell
It's
in him.
Angie. Come
You know,
on.
for the believer, sin is present. Know for sure, sin is present. We are not above our round, are in a place where sin doesn't affect us. Temptation is real. You know, but we are not supposed to be a slave of sin to continue living underneath that old schoolmaster. We're not supposed to be a slave of sin, but we should be elements of righteousness. Amen. We battle. We are at times we become addicted, and we continue to relapse in our addiction. It doesn't mean you have lost all hope. You know, it means that the war is real and it's ongoing. You know, you may have a recurring sin problem, a pattern, a failing. It doesn't cancel God's grace. God's grace is still freely attainable, freely available. You know, so it just calls for us to recognize our wretchedness. Oh, wretched man that I am, what shall separate me? Immediately you recognize that Christ is your redeemer. Christ is the only one that can separate you. You may be in a state of shamefulness or self-condemnation. You already passed judgment on yourself. You know, the enemy wants you to believe your struggles prove you're a fraud, as if there's no grace in you, are no mercy, you know, you have not gone to Calvary. You know, the enemy want you to feel that your praise is not worth it, want to silence you. You know, but know for sure that you are still beloved, you're still chosen, and you're still redeemed. If you don't believe me, look at 1 Corinthians. Look at the book of Corinthians that Paul himself wrote again. And it tells you all that was going on in Corinthians. We did that study, right? And it tells you all that was going on. And yet Paul would have referred to them as saints. You know, still saints. So don't throw in the towel, because you may find yourself going in cycles, all sort of addiction and this and that. Rest in his his unchanging hands. Lean upon Jesus. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight we are in. It's a battle we are in. At times the battle comes at flood state. At times it comes as if it is so surmountable that it seems as if we are being drowned in it. But know for sure that it's the battle is already won. And the time that when we realize that the battle is already won and we are fighting from a place of victory, then we would have understand that we don't have to we don't have to yield ourselves to the old Adamic nature, to the old sin nature anymore, but instead yield ourselves to God. The cry and answer is from despair to deliverance. That Paul, when Paul said, "Oh wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from the body of this of that that is subject to death?" And he said, "Thanks be to God who deliver me through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, Paul reaches the bottom of it. "Oh wretched man that I am." You know, immediately look up to God and said, "Thanks be to God." You know, the question is, who will rescue? Who will rescue me? Not what will rescue me. The answer is not a self-help program or a stricter set of rules. The answer is in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's he who will help us through. Amen. Paul asks who and not how. We are tempted to think our deliverance comes through more discipline, better strategies, trying harder. But even with the best of discipline, without Christ in the midst and Christ being the center, even in the best of discipline, you're going to fail. You could discipline yourself so much. You're going to say, try it if you think I'm lying. Take it for the month of July. And for the month of July to October, and say you're going to wake up 6 o'clock every morning and pray, and see how long you're going to last with it, with that discipline. See how long you're going to last with it. If one of the day you're not going to slip up, your desire is to do it, but you're going to have times in which you slip up from that, and that's what Sister Camille was saying. When you're under grace, you have you are free, you're flexible. Amen. You're not under bandage per se. And the more you release yourself in the unchanging hand of God, is the more victorious we will be in Christendom. So it's not about getting better strategies, better this, better that. It's about drawing close to God. It's about drawing strength from Him. You know, take us out of the picture and place our hope on Jesus. Our hope is built on nothing else but on Jesus Christ alone. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to stop there tonight. We're going to look at seven truths that we need to carry with us, knowing that we are no longer. We are no longer married to the law. We belong to Christ, who loves us with grace, not just demands. And we know that self-effort cannot save us. The law reveals sin, but it doesn't remove it. You know, and the struggle, you know, is real. And from time to time, we're going to fight it. But stand still, because we're fighting from a place of victory. And know of Jesus with you everywhere you go. Amen. Amen. Any questions before we close
Amen.
tonight? Anything you want to share before we go? Learn anything tonight?
Hi, good night,
Amen.
everyone.
Amen.
Right, Sister Akins.
Hi. So, I had Wi-Fi issues. Well, I've been having Wi-Fi issues all week. I'm not sure what's happening with Digicel and our Flow because we have both of them. But I was able to get on. I persevered and I was truly blessed.
Amen.
And Sister Camille was the one who said to try and restart my phone. Was it Camille, Sister Camille?
Yes, sis.
Thank you very much. I
You're
obeyed
welcome.
and I am blessed. So bless you all and thank you.
Yes, we welcome you. Long to see your sister Nicola. Come
Yeah.
back. Yes, I know we always talk and I always follow through with you and stuff.
Yes.
You know, we
Yes.
always keep in touch, and that's good.
Yes.
That's good to know and
Okay.
stuff. Bless the Lord.
Yes, the Lord.
Amen.
Good
Amen.
night, everybody.
Good night, sis.
I was blessed
Good night,
because at
sis.
one point where it resonates with me so much, where you make a resolution or you said, Lord, I know that this is wrong and I am not going to do it. And then you just go into it and it's like you're beating yourself. God, I asked you and I plead and I said, Lord, I'm not going to do it. And yet still, this is what I do. And then what the consequences is like the guilt is like it is more than the sin. It's like God is forgiving us, but it is so hard for us to forgive ourselves. For me, it's so hard to forgive myself. But when listening, he said, all right, yes, we are humans and we are going to sin. But let go, ask God for forgiveness, but it is hard, especially when you said, Lord, I am growing in you. I am a better person. I'm a stronger child of God. So there are certain things that I'm not going to do. And you end up doing the same thing. It's just the guilt of the guilt of it. It is like it is worse than ever. So that's what resonates with me.
Amen. Amen, Sister Alicia. Yes, it's a fight. It's a struggle, sis. It's a struggle, I'm telling you, man. You have to stay in the word. You know, the word have to form you, have to really take root into you. If you're a Christian and you're not praying or you're not in the word, you're going to be a weak Christian. And when the struggles them of life come up, you're going to have problem there and then and there, you know. But we're in the world, but not of the world. When Jesus in his high priestly prayer prayed, he prayed that the Lord will, that his Father will keep us in the world. You know, keep us in there. So we are in there, but we are not of it. And he give us and he prayed that we may be one as he and the Father is one. And it's so we get to come out of these patterns of sin when we are one in the body of Christ, when we have accountability, when we can call one another and we can share what we're going through and say, sister or brother, pray for me in that. Sister or brother, I'm going through this. Pray for me. You know, I don't like this, what I'm going through. Pray for me. Yeah. It's not meant for us to struggle under the yoke by ourselves. You know, it's not meant for us to live the Christian life by ourselves. Amen. Anyone before we ask our dear Sister Edda to read the notices for us? Amen. Sister Edda. Are you
Yes.
ready for us?
Yeah.
Bless the
Good
Lord.
night, everybody.
Good night, sis.
On behalf of our leadership of Faith Defenders Bible Study Group, it is truly my honor and joy to welcome each and every one of you this evening. Faith Defenders Bible Study Group mission is to bring the hope of the gospel to our community and beyond. We are a non-denominational group dedicated to knowing Christ deeply and making him known. Through the authority of Scripture, we study to grow in wisdom
and to actively share our faith by inviting others into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ and to build his kingdom one person at a time. It is our vision to see a transformed community where the hope of the gospel reaches every heart. We envision a growing body of believers rooted in the truth of God's word, who are actively and personally sharing their faith, expanding the kingdom of God, one person, one small group, and one transformed life at a time. These are the announcements. Last Thursday, we had our joint midweek fellowship with prayer portals to heaven. What a powerful night it was. It was a moment of breakthroughs. If you weren't able to join us, the replay is available at www.prayerportalstoheaven.com. Mark your calendars this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We come together for our 3 years anniversary celebration under the theme Mantled for the Increase. This will be hosted by our incredible partner ministry, Prayer Portal to Heaven Ministry International, right here on the same link. Be a blessing to someone else. Post it on your status and extend the invitation far and wide. Next Saturday at 8 p.m., we are looking forward to seeing your beautiful faces for our regular Bible study as we study Romans chapter 8. Come ready, come expectant, and come hungry for the word. Go forth and shine as you step into this week. Remember, you are the gospel in motion. Win souls for Christ through the life you live and the words you speak. Every encounter is an opportunity. Make it count. Thank you. I will now hand over to Sister Terry to lead us in closing prayer and the benediction.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Amen.
Bless the
Amen. Bless the
Lord.
Lord, Sister Terry.
Good night. I greet you
Good
all in
night.
the mighty name of Jesus. Please
Good
forgive me
night.
for
Amen.
having my camera closed. I am so grateful for the word tonight. Some days I feel so guilty because of the intentional desire that I have to grow in the Lord's grace and to just become a friend to Him. You know, I want Him to call me friend. And sometimes when I err in His presence, I feel so bad. You know, it makes you feel like I'm not growing, I'm not trying. But in fact, we are. And tonight's word has come to confirm it. I just want to highlight with us just a few of the main points that I grabbed from Romans chapter 7. Why does Romans 7 matter to us? It matters because we of ourselves cannot save ourselves. If we could, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't be in need of his help. And Apostle Paul got real with us when he wrote Romans chapter 7, as he helped us to recognize the weaknesses in us. And he did not just tell us about the weakness that we have. He told us about his own weakness, his own challenge. And all of us today as believers can relate to it. He encourages us in the word to get naked before the Lord, where he can dress us. We just have to be honest concerning our weaknesses in him. It's a real battle that we face on a daily basis, and it's happening in the spirit. And so we are not able to foresee these things unless we stay in prayer, and the Holy Spirit might reveal it to us. Glory to God. The chapter gives us freedom from condemnation. Hallelujah. We want to do the right thing, and we just don't do the right thing because of the
Oh
evil
God.
that is within us. Hallelujah. Sometimes it brings us shameful emotions. You know, we think about our ongoing weaknesses. We are so ashamed. We don't want to think about it. We feel like we have failed God, but we are thankful for the blood of Jesus who is able to wash us clean. Glory to God. And sorry. Even though we have our weaknesses and we struggle with them, the different challenges, we are not disqualified. The struggle does not disqualify us from doing what God has called us to do, being who He has called us to be. Hallelujah. And so tonight, I just want to encourage us that if we have ongoing issues, we're not just going to stay there and not grow. We're going to be intentional about growing out of these weaknesses. But let us recognize, just let us recognize tonight that we have a God, and through His blood, we are made clean. We can overcome. And Deacon Scott asked me for a song. I'm going to do my best to sing because I'm coughing and stuffy. But the song that was laid on my heart, and it's such a timely song, the blood of Jesus that gives me strength
Hallelujah.
from day to day. It will never lose its power. What would we do without the blood of Jesus? With all
My
these
God.
weaknesses and these mistakes that we make so regularly, what if we had to go and kill those precious animals? Where would we? Some of us wouldn't be able to afford it every day. But this blood reaches to the highest mountain and it goes down to the lowest valley. It delivers us, it empowers us, it protects us. Hallelujah. It provides for us,
Hallelujah.
it cleanses and washes us. Hallelujah. And so tonight, let us rely on the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are no longer married to the law, as Brother Deacon Scott said tonight, because of the blood. We know that our efforts will not save us, but the blood of Jesus can do it. We know that the blood
Yes.
of Jesus can help our struggles. Hallelujah. They won't become
Hallelujah.
every day. We won't just sit down and have them because the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us, to help us, and to deliver us. Glory to God. So we thank the Lord that we are not condemned tonight in the name of Jesus. And please pray with me as I minister this song. Excuse me.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Can you hear me? Can
Yes, I'm hearing, sis.
you hear the sound?
Yes, I'm hearing it.
Thank you, Jesus. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, hallelujah, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Hallelujah. It soothes my doubts and overcomes my fears and it dries all of my fears. Oh, this wonderful blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose, hallelujah, its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountains, hallelujah. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh Lord, 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 this wonderful blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It reaches to the highest mountains, thank you, Lord, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, 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 the blood, hallelujah, from day to day, it will never, never, never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord, that gives me strength.
Jesus.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus. From day to day, it will never, Jesus. Never lose its power.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Always
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you
Jesus. For your precious blood. Thank you for your holy, efficacious blood. Lord, we come.
Hallelujah.
Tonight, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that your love is so reckless towards us, Lord, that even
Jesus.
With our weaknesses, even mighty God, when we choose to do the right and we do not, it doesn't stop you from loving us. It doesn't stop you,
Jesus.
Mighty God, hallelujah, Jesus, from defending us. It doesn't stop you from protecting us. And tonight, Lord, we just want to glorify you. We just want to exalt you. Tonight, we just want to thank you. Tonight, we just want to testify of your love and your amazing grace towards us. Tonight,
yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that you did not leave us as orphans. Lord, I thank you that you left the word with us, Lord God Almighty, which is our sword. Oh, God, that we
Hallelujah.
Can stand, mighty God, believing. So those of us who are failing, mighty God, or who seem to be failing, oh God, we won't feel condemned, but we will know, Lord God, the blood of Jesus is able to wash us, because it's no ordinary blood.
Hallelujah.
This blood, hallelujah, pleads for us. This blood, oh God Almighty, forgives us. This blood, mighty God, hallelujah, delivers us
Jesus.
From our fears, from our hurts. Oh, God Almighty, because of our sinful nature. Oh, God, we sin. Oh, God, even though we believe, we know your word. We know how to do the right thing. Your word declares it to us. We know, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
But sometimes we really want to do the right thing and we don't, mighty God. Sometimes we want to say the right things and we don't, mighty God. Sometimes we want to go to the right places, oh, God. Sometimes we need to be consistent and we don't want to read the Bible. We desire, oh, God, to stay in your presence, mighty God. But we don't. We are so distracted at times, Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
But I ask you to forgive us, Lord, and we repent, Almighty God, and we seek your help. We seek your divine
Hallelujah.
Help, mighty God. Hallelujah, that we can grow from strength to strength so we can maximize our optimal potential in you, mighty God.
Yes,
Whatever
Lord.
it is that you have created us to be, Lord, we desire to walk in your purpose, Lord. So we ask you to examine us tonight, Lord, and empty us,
Hallelujah.
almighty God, from inward sin and carnal weaknesses,
Oh,
oh God.
Jesus.
We cannot do it by ourselves, Lord. Sometimes we try, but we recognize, Lord, that we can't do it by
Oh,
ourselves, Lord
Jesus.
God Almighty. If it's not for you, Lord,
Oh,
you won't be able
Jesus.
to do it, mighty God. The songwriter said, Lord, if you don't do it, it just can't be done. So, Father
Hallelujah.
God, we thank you. We empty ourselves before you. We lay all the issues
Thank you,
on the altar
Jesus.
tonight. And help us not to be afraid to release them, Lord. Sometimes the
Oh,
enemy causes us to
Jesus.
feel so embarrassed that we don't want to say it, Lord. But we are thankful that we can be our authentic self in your presence. There's no need for us to be
Mighty God.
embarrassed in your presence because you know us, Lord. You know our mistakes, Lord. You know the thoughts that you have for us, Lord. Hallelujah. And you know the thoughts that we have towards you.
Yes,
Sometimes we
Lord.
are condemned by others, Lord, but you know our heart. Sometimes others may not see the effort that we're making to try, Lord God Almighty, but
Oh,
you see it,
Jesus.
Jesus. And so, Father God, help us tonight.
Yes,
Help
Lord.
someone who may feel like they are giving up, who may feel like, I'm just going to backslide. I just can't do this anymore. I keep
My
making
God.
the mistakes. I keep going back to sin. Hallelujah. Speak to their hearts tonight, Lord, and
Yes,
remind them of
Lord.
your Holy Spirit. Remind them of the blood. Hallelujah.
Oh,
Them of
Jesus.
the love, hallelujah, that you have for
Hallelujah.
mighty God, in the name of Jesus, because we
Jesus,
need it, Lord. We
Jesus.
need to go on, mighty God. It is important that we stand, mighty God, because
Yes,
others are
Lord.
relying on our testimonies. Others are relying on our
Hallelujah.
prayers, mighty God. Others are relying on the anointing that you have placed in us, mighty God. So keep our
Oh,
feet, oh God,
Jesus.
planted in the name of Jesus. Our family
Hallelujah.
members are relying on us, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Even the unsaved, oh God, who are in sin, they are looking to us as believers, Lord. They know the right also, Father God, and they expect us to do the right. And though we may fail, Lord, they don't expect us to sit and wallow in our sin, Lord. They need
Jesus,
to see progress.
Jesus.
They need to see the fruits of the Spirit being manifested in us, Lord. So we are not here to make excuses tonight, Lord. We know that sin is inside of us, but we also know that you have sent us the Holy Spirit, which is our helper, so that we can overcome in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Jesus.
Lord God Almighty, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for all of us who are here. I thank you that the word of God will be
Mighty
planted
God,
in us.
In the name
Oh
of
God,
Jesus
there will be an
Christ of
overflow in our
Nazareth.
lives, Lord. That
Yes,
even when we go
Lord.
to our beds, Lord, even tomorrow morning, we'll not keep it to ourselves. Let the word be
Hallelujah.
so rich inside
Mighty
of our hearts,
God.
Lord, so
Yes,
that we,
Lord.
mighty God, can share
Jesus.
with others. Oh God, who might be going through. Let us not just forget about it, Lord, but let this word become
Oh,
flesh to
Jesus,
us in
Jesus,
the name of
Jesus.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Jesus.
Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us, Jesus.
Mighty God.
Many times you want to give up, Lord, but we are not going to give
Oh,
up. We
Jesus.
stand resolute in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
And we declare
Jesus.
that we are not condemned, mighty God.
God.
But we
My
are
God.
clean
My God.
and we are blessed, oh God Almighty. And that you will not turn your face
Hallelujah.
from us because of the faults in us, Lord. Because daily we see your faithfulness towards us. When you look beyond our faults,
My
Lord,
God.
and you
My
see
God.
our needs. Mighty God, we thank you. And we just ask that you cover us. And we ask that you deliver us. And we ask you, Lord God, that you will reveal
Yes,
to
Jesus.
us
Oh, Jesus.
all the legal rights that we give the enemy access to our lives, Lord. And we ask you to give us the word so we can use it.
Yes,
Give us the
Lord.
faith that we need, oh God, to be fully
Yes,
activated.
Lord.
So when the
Yes,
enemy comes to tempt us, when he
Oh,
comes to lie
Jesus.
to us, Lord, we will rebuke him and use the word of God as our
Hallelujah.
power
Mighty
in the
God,
name of
name of
Jesus Christ
Jesus.
of Nazareth.
Yes, Lord.
Because we are not
Hallelujah.
defeated. We are victorious through the blood of
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. And as we move forward, Lord God Almighty, we put our future into your hands.
Thank yes,
you,
Lord.
Jesus. The future of our country, even
Thank
this
you,
country,
Lord.
America. We put the future of Jamaica
Yes,
into
Lord.
your hands and all the other countries represented by your people, Lord. Father God, have mercy upon us, Lord. Father
Hallelujah.
God, enable us, oh God, to have visions, hallelujah, of what is happening ahead of time, Lord, so we can
Yes,
be fully
Lord.
prepared as a people in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Speak to us, Lord, and help
Thank
us
you,
to set
Jesus.
ourselves in a position, Lord, where we can hear from you, Lord. Help us not to look to the left or to the right or be distracted, not in this season, mighty God.
Oh, God.
Cause us to be vigilant, Holy Spirit.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Let us fix our eyes on you, mighty God, because
Hallelujah.
We don't want to fail. We want to be partakers
of
your
name of Jesus.
Kingdom, Lord. We believe in your
Oh,
word where you say
Jesus.
You have
Thank
gone
you,
to
Holy
prepare a
Spirit.
place for us so
Yes.
that where you are, we may be.
Oh,
We're not
yes,
here
Lord.
playing
Thank you,
games, mighty God.
Jesus.
We are here to win. We are here
Yes,
to
Lord.
experience a victory. We are here, mighty God, because we want to see, hallelujah, your
Oh,
face. We want to
Jesus.
experience you, oh God Almighty, in
Hallelujah.
the name of Jesus, in its
Jesus.
fullness. And so I give
Hallelujah.
you thanks, Lord. I give you praise for helping
Thank you,
us, Lord, because we
Jesus.
can't walk without you holding our hands.
My God.
If you don't
Hallelujah.
help us, Lord, we won't make it, oh God
Oh,
Almighty.
Jesus.
Rely on you, Jesus. And we tell
Oh,
you thanks, Lord. Thank you for your blood
Thank you,
tonight.
Jesus.
That even those who are going through sickness in their bodies, Lord, oh God, the
Oh,
blood of
God.
Jesus
The
will
blood, the
heal.
blood.
Oh God Almighty, those who are going through hurt and trauma, the blood of
Oh,
Jesus will
Jesus, the
heal and
blood, the
deliver.
blood.
Those who
Yes,
need a
Lord.
financial breakthrough tonight, Lord,
Oh,
your blood will
Jesus.
come and heal and deliver and
Yes,
set
Lord.
free and empower. Those who need more of you, Lord, more strength, more grace to perform their duties, oh God. Hallelujah. Those who need to be elevated, those who need to be,
Oh, Jesus.
hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Oh,
Those who need to
Jesus.
grow, those who need to stop making the mistakes that they keep making, just continue, oh God, to shine your light upon us. Examine us individually
Yes,
and
Lord.
collectively, Lord, and meet us where we are. We ask of you, Abba Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Whatever I fail to ask, Lord, remember, oh God Almighty, your son, Deacon Scott. Remember his wife, his family, his household,
Oh,
Lord.
Jesus.
Remember his ministry. Remember every situation in his life, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I ask you to cover him, Divine Father. I ask you to
Yes,
strengthen him
Lord.
in the name of Jesus. Help him to continue to be
Thank you,
consistent, Lord.
Jesus.
Help him, oh
Yes,
God, to
Lord.
always be willing, Lord. God Almighty, I pray for strength that you send
Oh,
helpers,
God.
oh God, who will pray for him, who will encourage him, Lord.
Yes,
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Jesus.
Yes,
Because there
Lord.
may be days when he feels discouraged, Lord. But God Almighty,
Oh,
send
God.
someone to remind him of the good work that you have started in him, Lord. So he will continue
Oh,
with it, Almighty
Jesus.
God. I pray that you'll keep his feet from falling in the name of Jesus, because he's
Jesus.
flesh and blood. Hide him, oh God, from temptations. Hide him, oh
Hallelujah.
God, in the name of Jesus, that he will
My
stand
God.
as a
Yes,
mighty man
Lord.
of valor, oh God. And you will shun
Thank
every
you,
presence of
Jesus.
evil in the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ of
Yes,
Nazareth.
Lord.
Hallelujah. God
Thank you,
Almighty, I give you
Jesus.
thanks and I give you praise that as he pours out for your people, Lord, the
Oh,
word of God, you will
Jesus.
continue to pour into him, continue to give him revelations, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And I thank you
Thank you,
for
Jesus.
just blessing his marriage and blessing his family and his business and
Yes,
everything
Lord.
concerning him, his mother, his extended family, oh God Almighty.
Yes,
All of us
Lord.
here tonight, Lord, cover us in the name of Jesus. And I say thank
Thank you,
you that your
Jesus.
blood is doing the work in Jesus' name. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And
Amen.
now,
Amen.
may the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can somebody remind me, please?
Yes,
Yeah.
and now may be saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the
Jesus
love of
Christ,
God,
love
the
God and the
fellowship
fellowship
of the
of the
Holy
Holy
Spirit,
Spirit,
and the Comforter, rest remain
remain
with us,
and
guide
abide
us
with us
all,
forevermore.
now and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen,
Amen.
amen,
Amen.
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 Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah. Bless